The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Praise God. You may be seated. Wow, I've been talking about being CrossFit. Of course, we're talking about that cross or the cross that Christ died on for our sins. The cross is a symbol of our freedom. Jesus is no longer, the crucifix is not right. Jesus is no longer on the cross. Jesus has left the cross. The cross is only a symbol to us of the fact that Jesus hung on the cross for our sins, died and came back to life on the third day, that we might have life and have it more abundantly, according to Him. Praise God for that. So as we were talking about being CrossFit, I think it's very appropriate that we sang that song, because what we need to realize that we're competing. My title of my message this morning is Competing to Win, or Learning to Compete to Win. And we're using the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Don't you realize in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So we're struggling for an eternal prize. We're not competing in an athletic competition. This is not a playground that we're in. This is a battleground. Now, here's the interesting thing. We fight battles, but Jesus Christ has won the ultimate battle for us. So being in this battle doesn't mean that we have to fight necessarily to win the victory over sin and death. We're fighting the battles to win victory over our flesh and an enemy called Satan. Satan is an enemy that we fight against. And the word is very clear. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we are wrestling against an unseen enemy that is very powerful. Now, what I want you to understand is that Jesus has won the battle, but we have an enemy that wants to pull us down to a level that is below where God wants us to live. God wants us to live in this abundant life. So it's important that we need to learn to compete to win. And I want you to understand, you can win every battle. Now, my experience tells me we won't. We usually do not win every battle, but we're capable of winning every battle. We don't win because of the weakness of our flesh, and we allow the flesh to overcome our spirit. But we can win every battle. I was reminded of a salesman who worked selling electronic parts. And he worked for a medium-sized firm. And his competition was this great large firm. And the salesman who worked for this large firm liked to tell all the customers, and he'd go around to this guy's customers and tout how wonderful their company was because they were so much larger and they could provide better service than the smaller companies. And this salesman would tell his customers from time to time, he would say, you know, if size was really that important, elephants would rule the world and Miss America would be 400 pounds. Now, why would he think about things like that? Well, the reality is size does not always matter. What is important is the power that is behind us. Now, we have a big enemy, I want you to understand. If you try to fight Satan on your own, you're in big, big trouble.
But you have someone much greater behind you. You have Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have the power of God to overcome. So this morning we're going to talk about the reality that we have victory and we want to walk in that victory. Romans 8:37. Now Paul was talking to the Romans and he was telling them that nothing can defeat you and nothing can separate you. And then he goes on to say, separate you from God, from the love of God. And then Romans 8:37, he says this, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8:37. If this is true, I believe that, and I do believe that it really is true. Why are so many of us living as slaves to sin? It's because we do not realize and we're not accepting the challenge to live above that stuff. Many Christians are living under the bondage of the slavery of the enemy, sin. But I believe we can learn to win. We are competing to win. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who loves me, loves us. We are able to do this. So this morning, I want to talk to you about my number one point is capture your thoughts. Now, I take this from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And we'll stop right there with that one. For the pulling down of strongholds, the weapons of our warfare. That tells us that we have weapons. We are not without the ability to be able to fight this battle. We have all the weapons we need to be able to be victorious, to compete and win every battle. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, or they're not fleshly. Carnality is humanness, fleshliness. But mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Go to the next scripture. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to capture our thoughts and bring them into the obedience of Christ. We're not supposed to allow our mind, our brain, to run rampant and think crazy thoughts. You know, last week, at the end of the service, I used a crazy illustration of Oreos, of being addicted to Oreos, and how being addicted to those Oreos could lead to overindulgence. You go to this, you eventually go to the store and you buy the Oreos. Okay, but where did the person really lose the battle? I lost the battle when I decided to even think about how delicious and wonderful those Oreos would be. That's where you lose the battle, is when you begin to entertain the thoughts. And if you entertain those thoughts, then you're going to fall and become victim to the strongholds that are set up in your life. Joyce Meyer wrote a book, Battlefield of the Mind, and she talks about the battles can be won or lost in our mind. Your mind, your brain, I should say, is controlled by your mind, not the other way around. Now, there are scientists that would tell you the opposite of that, but anybody who has any biblical knowledge or understands the reality of life would tell you that there's something outside of the brain that tends to be the controlling element in our lives. And we believe that is our mind, that God created us with a mind. A mind, our mind, will, and emotions. And we refer to that as our soul realm. We are a spiritual being that has a body, that lives in a body, that has a soul. And our soul realm is the realm that's going to continue to live after we pass from this life. Eventually, one day, we're going to be reunited with our bodies. But once we leave here, if you pass away before Jesus Christ returns, your soul realm is going to continue. It's your soul and spirit because they are united. They have been connected to one another. That's how we were created. God spoke life into man. He spirited into man. So our spirit was placed in us, and we became what? A living soul, according to Scripture. A living soul. So our soul and spirit are connected with one another. You can't separate those two. God, only God could separate them. So we're going to continue to live after this life. I think that's an exciting thing. Amen? It's only exciting for those of us who know Jesus. Because if you don't know Jesus, there's a destination that you're not going to like very well. And I try to discourage people from that destination. I want to encourage you to the heavenly destination because the fire will not be pleasant. I want everybody to go to heaven. I want everybody to be in the presence of God. Jesus Christ came and died for that possibility for all of us. The Scripture is very clear that God loved the world so much that He sent His Son. Everyone is loved that much. Not everyone's going to receive. We have to make a decision. So even in salvation, we are making choices in our lives. We're either choosing the abundant life or we're choosing the worldly life. Everybody can make that choice. So we're going to capture our thoughts. So if you choose to allow a thought to become implanted in your brain, it becomes a part of you. That's where the mind comes in. In the mind, you can stop it. You can choose. You can make a choice. Your brain's going to think things, and the enemy's going to plant things in your brain, in your thinking. But you have a choice through your mind to be able to stop it, the person you really are. If you choose to allow that to become implanted in your brain, it becomes a part of you. And then your mind uses it to control or dominate your thinking, your behavior. So it becomes something that is dominant in your life. Let me give you just a quick example of what I'm talking about. Because we've all experienced these kind of things in our life. We've had things happen to us, sometimes good things, sometimes bad things. And sometimes people will say something that will trigger. We have triggers in our life. Things that will trigger emotions that rise up inside of us. Emotions are real things. And they're planted, thoughts are planted in our mind, and there's emotions that go along with it. Those emotions are chemical and electromagnetic impulses that surge through our bodies. And chemicals are released in our bodies based on that experience, good or bad. For me, if Jane bakes me a pie, which I love Jane's pies, keep baking those pies, Jane. And she bakes pies for a lot of people. But for me, Jane's pies take me back to my childhood because my grandma used to bake pies for me. And it just takes me back. You know, as soon as I see the pie, I taste the pie, emotions are released that are good. They're warm fuzzies. We all like warm fuzzies, don't we? Yes, we want warm fuzzies. The reality is we can't live there all the time. But it's awesome to have those warm fuzzies. And that's what I'm talking about. There's things, those triggers in our life that just cause emotions to rise up inside of us. Most of the time, those are good emotions. Sometimes they're negative emotions. And that's why I think that it's very important that we begin to understand how important it is to capture our thoughts, take control of our thoughts, and not allow the negative thoughts to dominate us. And according to Dr. Carolyn Leaf, who who spoke here in this church, and she's written many books, it's very possible for human beings created in the image of God to change your train of thought, to change the way you're thinking of whether if you have some kind of a negative thought process, a pattern of thinking, that can be captured and changed. It's a process. You've got to be willing to work on it and work through it, but it can be done. So we got to capture our thoughts. Luke chapter 6, verse 44 says this: "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Wow, we're going to talk a little bit about speaking and how important it is to speak positive, proper words to ourselves and to those around us. But here's what I want you to understand, that scientific research is now confirming what we've already known for a couple of millennia now, that the Bible is really true. That the Bible, the Word of God, really is inerrant, inspired, infallible. That the Word of God really does say that if the things that you think, whatsoever you think, that Proverbs tells us what a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what you're thinking becomes a part of who you are. Even clear back in Roman times, there was a Marcus Aurelius, an emperor. He said this: "Our life is what our thoughts make it." So man has known this for many, many, many hundreds and thousands of years. And yet, we try to act like we don't believe it, or we're not believing it, and we're not trusting it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this: "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So how can we be transformed? By the renewing of our mind with the Word of God, God's Word. Now listen, I want you to understand, this may sound like a self-help program. It's not. You can't do anything for yourself in regards to the things that I'm talking about. This is a Holy Spirit help program. This is the power of Holy Spirit working in us. But there are techniques that has been discovered that we can use to change the way we're thinking. But it will only come about if we trust the living God and Holy Spirit that lives inside of us to help us to be able to overcome the negative thinking that we have. This is the Word of God alive in us. According to Dr. Leaf, who has written many books, but one of the books that she has written is Switch On Your Brain. She's done a lot of research. This is a great book. It gives you some techniques. The last half of this book will show you, give you some very good techniques on how to overcome negative thinking and change your thinking. A process that you have to be willing to go through. It's really very simple, but you have to be disciplined to do it. Part of the mind's function, according to Dr. Leaf, is to release chemical flow in the brain that switches groups of genes on and off in a positive or negative direction based on your choices. So it boils down to this: what choices are we making? Are we making good choices or bad choices? Listen, you are a product of your choices. Genetics play into this thing. We know that. We know that if you have a father or a mother who is addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol or anything, the chances of you becoming an addict are very high. But you will become or will not based on your choices. You do not have to choose to go in that direction. You may have a predisposed direction that you could take, but you do not have to go in that direction. You do not have to take that avenue in your life. You can change the direction that you're going. That's the free will that God has given us. So forget about the diseases and the addictions and all the negative things that are in your past, in your family's past. You are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. You are more than a conqueror. You are victorious in Jesus' name. You do not have to become a victim of these things. Now, here's the thing. Every single day we make choices. You choose to do. You choose what you're going to eat. You choose what to wear. You choose what to say. You choose how to act. Our choices are endless. They just come. You made thousands of choices probably even before you came here this morning. You chose to argue with your wife or not. You chose to do right things. You chose to get up and brush your teeth. I hope you did. You chose not to. You chose the things that are important in your life. You chose to eat breakfast or not eat breakfast. You made all kinds. If you got kids in the house, you chose to yell at those kids to get them ready. When my grandsons stay with us, you tell them over and over and over, get ready, we're getting ready to go. They'll get half ready. And then when we're ready to go out the door, oh, I got to do this or I got to do that. Choices. Now, I can choose to yell at them. Sometimes I do. I make a choice because I want to drive home my point. I expect you to get ready. Or I can choose not to. They're making choices, and I'm making choices. Now, here's the thing about choices. You choose how you're going to react to a situation. Eleanor Roosevelt once said that no one can make you feel inferior without your permission. And I believe that. Now, does that mean that if somebody says something negative, that it doesn't make you feel, say something negative about you, it doesn't make you feel inferior? No, it means that you're giving them permission to do so because you have that emotion in you that rises up inside of you. So you do not have to feel inferior because somebody else says something negative to you. But many of us do. And that's a negative thought that has to be overcome in our lives. You can make the choice to be an overcomer in that area. Choices. Joshua said this, "Choose you this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." What a great choice. And that's what I'm encouraging you this morning to do, to make that choice in Jesus' name. Dr. Leaf gives an illustration in one of her books about HIV. I believe it's this one, Switch On Your Brain, about a study of HIV patients. Now, I told you this is not a self-help program. This is a Holy Spirit help program. And she makes it very clear in her books that, you know, the only thing that really can make a difference is Jesus Christ in your life. But she cites a study that was done with HIV patients. And as they were ministering to HIV patients and taking care of their needs and trying to heal their bodies, they discovered something. They discovered that the people, the HIV patients, who believed that God was a loving, benevolent God, the ability of their body to heal and overcome HIV was much greater than those who felt like God was condemning them. God was judging them. But here's the clincher. Those who believed that God was a loving, benevolent God, and they had a personal relationship with that God through Jesus Christ, their ability to heal was 300% greater than the others. That tells us it's spiritual. It's not just a physical thing. It's not just a mental thing. It's supernatural. And when we know and we trust in our God, there's a supernatural ability to be able to overcome. I don't know what you've gone through in your life. Many of you have experienced some horrendous things. There's healing for you. By the blood of Jesus and through process that we learn to think differently. Second thing I want to share with you real quick this morning is think good thoughts. Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if we could just do that all the time? Just think about all the good things and all the wonderful things, the pure things. And wow, that'd be awesome. But we wouldn't really be living in this world, would we? We'd be living in a fantasy world. Because that's not the world that we live in. And yet, the Scripture is true, and I believe it. That even though when we have these negative things that are happening in our life and they're going to bombard our thought process, they're going to bombard us physically and emotionally, yet the Scripture tells us that we need to take control of our thoughts and not allow the negative things to dominate us. So it's not trying to teach us to live in some kind of fantasy world. It's trying to teach us that even when the negative comes, we can look on a positive side of it. We can recognize that all things work together for good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Ah, I love that Scripture, but I don't always understand that Scripture. Because it doesn't look good to me sometimes, the things that happen. It doesn't always look positive. But yet, God says, it's going to work to my good. And God says, think on these things. Therefore, I'm going to walk according to what the Scripture says and think on these things and try to overcome. Now, here's a direction we can take if we want. We can act like this guy who said, "I think the worst, so I won't be disappointed." Well, you're going to be disappointed regardless, and thinking the worst will make your life miserable. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about having an abundant life in Christ. But I want you to know this. Deuteronomy 30:19 says this: "I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live." We have a choice. We can choose death thinking, deadly thinking, or we can choose life thinking. This is God's plan for us to choose life. He does not want us to choose death. He wants all of us to choose the abundant life that He has for us in Jesus Christ. So it's important that we understand this process, that we're not a victim of our biology or our circumstances. We have what we need to overcome. Dr. Leaf's research about negative thoughts, and she has done some deep research into this. And they've used all the technology available today. They've used thermal imaging and all kinds of things. And through this, they've been able to actually look into the brain and see the function of the brain and see how things are firing in the brain and how our thoughts and words and things that are mentioned to an individual or spoken to an individual, how it changes in the brain and how your brain receives it. And what they have found, Tina, were you able to pull up those images of those two things that I sent? There you go. Okay. The Word of God is clear. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So here we are trying to understand. No, that's on the other. I'm sorry. I did not send you anything on that. That was my fault. You can take that one down. Thanks. That's another experiment. I got my experiments messed up. Anyhow, Dr. Leaf, in her imaging and her experiments, what they were able to do was looking into the brain, and what they found was that when a person had a negative thought, it would look like a gnarly briar bush in the brain. But when a person had a positive thought, it would look like a beautiful tree growing up. So if those negative thoughts were added to, that briar bush would grow in the brain. If the positive thought was added to, the beautiful tree would grow in the brain. It's awesome to think about that, as you know, it gives us an image of what really is taking place when we have positive and negative thoughts. That's why it's so important that we're thinking the right things, thinking good thoughts. Your brain is very, what she refers to is malleable. It's kind of plastic, and it stretches, and it can go in any direction that we really desire it to go. You know, in the 70s, I had a toy called Stretch Armstrong. Stretch Armstrong was an interesting toy because you could stretch him out like that or like this, and he'd go right back to the same old guy that he was. And you know, our thoughts are kind of like that. You know, we can be stretched out in different directions, but they'll go right back to the same old thing if we're not doing something to change that. One of the interesting things about Stretch Armstrong was that he would crack after a while and some goo would ooze out of him. What we found out later was that that goo was very toxic. Your thoughts are very toxic. They can be stretched out, but they're going to flop back, go right back to the same place unless we stop that toxicity from coming in to our lives. Think on good things. There's a couple studies I want to share with you. First of all, research shows that 75 to 98% of our physical behavior and mental health is thinking related. Negative thinking kills us. That's basically what it is. There was a study done, and I just want to share this with you real quick, because there was a study done. First of all, the first study was done by a doctor on many, many years ago. It's a classic. He would ring a bell. Well, people say ring a bell, but he actually used a tuning fork. And when he fed dogs, he would hit that tuning fork. Later on, he would just hit the tuning fork, and the dogs would begin to salivate just because they heard the tuning fork. They had been conditioned to receive food at that time, so they thought they were going to get food. Whether they were fed or not, they acted like they were going to be fed. We're conditioned by the enemy for certain things in our lives. The other study, real quick, I just want to share this with you because I want to finish this. I'm way past time this morning. I know we had a lot of things going on. But I want to finish this with, I want you to understand that these things, the way we're thinking, the things that we speak, are very important to us. There was another study done in Japan. They took children who shouldn't be too susceptible to the wrong thinking, but probably had some in their minds. And what they did was they took a leaf from a plant, and they told them, and they would rub it on their left arm, and they said, "This is poison ivy." And then they took a leaf that was actually poison ivy and they rubbed it on their right arm. What the study showed was that the kids who had poison ivy, not the leaf was not poison ivy, two of the kids came down with a rash. No, all the kids, get this thinking right, all the kids came down with a rash on their left arm. On the arm that they rubbed poison ivy, only two out of 13 actually contracted poison ivy on their arms. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that our thinking sometimes can make us believe something that is not real. Now, I'm not trying to say that people are not allergic to poison ivy. I've got a brother that's extremely allergic to poison ivy. But sometimes we think we're having a reaction to something, or we allow ourselves to have a reaction to something that's not even real. For instance, something could have happened to us in the past that was devastating in our life. Someone now could say something that is a trigger that will create an emotion that will rise up inside of us, and we'll have a reaction that that person that's talking to us they just don't understand it. They don't know why. Why are you acting like this? Why are you reacting? Well, you have a trigger that's come up inside of you. Your emotions rise up. Jesus is a healer of those things. The last thing I want to share with you is let's control our words. Now, I think we all understand how important our words are. And I just want to jump right to the end of this because I need to finish. Jesus said in Luke 17:6 that if we have faith as a mustard seed, and what is faith? Faith is trust. If we trust God as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. We can say. So saying is important. Saying. Speech is very important. We're the only creature that God created that has the ability to speak, and there's power in our spoken word. Jesus spoke everything into existence. The Word of God is very clear that He's the one that caused everything to be spoken into existence. He's the Word. And the Word of God is that powerful. Therefore, it's important that we understand how powerful the spoken word is. Be careful with what you say. Be careful with your tongue. James tells us that it's an evil, unruly evil that can no man contain. Now, I will say that is true, but we can tame it by power of the Holy Spirit. I want to jump right to the end of this message because I want you to see some experiments that were done by a man, by a doctor, Emoto. He did a series of experiments where he examined the effects of words, prayers, music, environment on water. He would one of the experiments, he'd set water in containers, and then they would speak, he'd have his assistant speak words into this water, speak negative things into one vessel of water and positive into another. When he spoke things like death and hell and Hitler and Hades and, you know, evil, nasty things, this is an example on be your left. Yes, get that right. On your left is an example of what the water would look like. Now, they would freeze the water crystals and then look at them underneath a microscope. This is an example of what the water crystals would look like on the left when they spoke evil things over the water. The right side, they spoke good things and prayers and positive, is an example of what the water crystals look like under a microscope after positive things were spoken to it. Now, I want to make sure that everybody understands Not everybody accepts his experiments. It's very controversial. He's being accused of being a pseudoscientist. But these are the things that he found. And I would say this, that really does line up with the Word of God. It's real. The spoken word is powerful. Whatever you say in faith believing, you're going to receive. That's the Word of God is true. It tells us we have to speak it. So let's be careful with the things that we are speaking in our life and into other people's lives. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. As I finish this message, I'm going to ask you to stand with me, but I'd like to say this. Please, if you'd like to change your thinking, get a copy of this book. It'll help you. But more important, I would say, read the Word of God. It'll change you. There's a song by Zach Williams. Probably everyone's heard it. When he told you you were not enough, when he told you you were not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough. Fear, he is a liar. He is a liar. I'm going to tell you something. He's going to tell you all kinds of things. It's not fear, per se. Fear is probably a demonic force, some exaggerated fear. But it's the enemy lying to you. Well, you can put whatever it is in your life. The enemy's telling you lies. And he's trying to bring fear and anxiety and problems and difficulties. He is a liar. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is powerful. He truly wants us to have a blessed life and live an abundant life. He loves us that much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we just thank you. Your word is true. We can win every battle, Lord. I believe we're competing to win. But it is a battle. And I don't want to diminish that at all. I want people to know and understand that we fight these battles. And with your help, we overcome. And sometimes we fall. But we're still your children. And we ask for your continued guidance and direction and strength. Give us wisdom, boldness. Give us the ability, Father God, to walk before you and know who we are in Jesus Christ. And know the ability that we have to overcome and to win the battles that are before us. Today, Father God, I pray your power over this congregation, over each and every person in here, that we will walk knowing that you are our God, that you are our strength, and the battles before us are not ours, but they're they're under the power of God. The power to overcome. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day. Remember, love never fails.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.